podcast in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
Messi.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Great, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Yes, hello one and all. The Punt is back. Derek McGovern and Chris Bascom from The Telegraph, the Merseyside reporter for the paper. I would like to say, first of all, chaps, that I've got full confidence in both of you. There may be a motion tabled against me, though, this morning. It's the morning after the William Hill free bar Christmas party. And that's why it's me doing this, everyone, and not DK or Alex or anyone else. They're all still in bed. Derek, Chris, morning, you well?
Yeah, not
yes,
so bad.
Good morning. Good. I'm sure the buffet took a hit with you there as well, Phil.
I didn't touch anything. Didn't touch anything. It's a cruel jibe as well. We'll have a Euro nap. We'll have Championship, League One and League Two naps as well later in the podcast. There's a bit of a Liverpool love in this. So we're going to come to the game of the weekend, of course, on Sunday. But I think we'll start with the Manchester City-Everton game. The champions who are... creaking at the back ever so slightly, Derek. First league defeat came against Chelsea at the weekend. In midweek, it was a bit of a dead rubber, of course, but they beat Hoffenheim in the end. Did concede against them, which was a nice bet if anyone took the Man City to win and both teams to score. Everton have got a bit of a sign over City, losing only two of the last seven, which is a good record given their current stature in the game. Drawn three, winning two of those. Only one clean sheet for City in that run of games as well. Interestingly, City have got a great run against teams outside the so-called Big Six, though. 139 points out of a possible 153 since they last lost to a team outside the Big Six, Everton, in January 2017. Presumably they just get back on the horse here, Derek. Probably could have had an easier match than this one. They're 1-5. Shudder when you read that price. 14-1 for Everton, 11-2 the draw. 14-1 for a team who may be capable of a draw.
Yeah, well, they are. Everton are capable of getting a draw there. They've had some tough fixtures away the last few weeks, I would say. Liverpool, Chelsea, Man United. I think they've only lost by a goal in two of those fixtures and drew the other one. They don't get pummeled by anybody anymore, Everton. They're not a team that's... like Bournemouth are keeping tabs on them in sixth and seventh, I think there is. But Bournemouth are likely to suffer a 4-0 shellacking like they did last week. You don't see that from Everton. Everton will give every team a good run for the money. And I'm not going to back them to win at 14-1. That would be ridiculous. But Everton with a two-goal start, 23-20. I like the look of that, It would have come up against those three big teams I've just mentioned. And you look at City's home record, Lee, and you see they scored 30 goals in eight home matches. But my God, they've had some easy fixtures there. Brighton, Fulham, Huddersfield, Southampton. Throw Man United in as well. This is a tougher one for them. And I know that Guardiola's been getting stick after that collapse at Chelsea last week, but he can always point to his trophy room and laugh, Guardiola. Or he can point to Everton's trophy room and laugh. I think I prefer the latter. But I like the look of Everton here. I thought they were excellent in the Merseyside derby a couple of weeks ago. They should have got something out of that. Being a bit unlucky in dropping points in recent weeks as well, I'm going to go for the Blues with a two-goal start.
Interesting one there. Chris, I don't know if... Is it out in the open whether you're a red or a blue or maybe even a Tranmere fan?
Oh, listen, don't get me into any more trouble. I'm sure people can make their mind up if you've read me stuff over the years, but for professional purposes, I want them both, genuinely want them both to do well. It makes my job a lot easier when they're doing well.
Fair enough. This is the first half of the Manchester versus Merseyside weekend then, isn't it? Which side do these spoils go to? The blue side of Manchester or the blue side of Merseyside?
Well, yeah, Everton are a different Everton, aren't they? I mean, to what they certainly think this time last year, the whole depression of the Sam Allardyce kind of, I think Evertonians sort of like, well, we want to think of the Sam Allardyce here, like Liverpool fans do the Roy Hodgson one, let's just pretend it didn't happen, and going to these places where you just sort of put your 11 men behind the ball, lump it forward and chase it and hope you get a 0-0 or... a dodgy decision or a set piece, we're not seeing that under Marco Silva, which was probably why they were so encouraged in defeat at Liverpool, because it was a very different Everton, and it'll be a different Everton again. But on the flip side of that, you wonder whether City might actually, you know, relish that a little bit, because how many times will go to City this season and actually try and have a go? Not many. Although, you know, I thought it was interesting earlier a bit, many of the two changes against Hoffenheim, but, you know, Hoffenheim pressed high and caused a few problems early on against City, and maybe teams aren't brave enough against City. You know, you have seen those who had a bit of courage get a bit of reward. I still think it's going to be really tough for Everton. I kind of think City probably will win, but I think you kind of expect Everton to play well now. You expect Everton to go there, you know, really put on the performance, and they're not quite at that stage of the development under Silva yet to sort of turn those draws into wins or wins into draws. They need to be really at the best to win games, and I think that is still a problem they've got between now and the end of the season, Evan, but they are getting better, a lot better.
If I push you for a prediction on the game,
well,
you think Everton can get a goal?
Yeah, I mean, I'd go for 2-1 City. Yeah. I think 2-1.
Yeah, a match result on both teams to score market, a popular market with, as everyone knows, 6-5 for Man City to win the game and both teams to score. And compare that to the 1-5 with City, obviously, do concede. That's not a bad price. Couple of enhanced odds. Raheem Sterling, of course, been in the news this week, expecting him to get rapturous support from his fans. Man City to win 2-0, 2-1 or 3-1 with Sterling scoring was 5-1. Now 6-1. What about Richarlison to score? Everton to win. 25-1 the price. That one from 20 is fairly unlikely, though. Let's move on to Fulham versus West Ham. The next TV game. This is the 5:30 game. 15-8 Fulham. 5-2 the draw. And West Ham are priced up at 7-5. No clean sheet for Fulham in 20 Premier League games, of course, spanning their previous visit to the top flight, conceding 51 goals in that run as well, which is terrible. West Ham United looking to secure 4 consecutive Premier League victories for the first time since February 2014, when Sam Allardyce was the man in charge there. Maybe not one to get the pulse racing this one, Derek, but Fulham are obviously desperate for points, being rock bottom of the table, joint with Southampton, of course. West Ham, 21 points already on the board. Obviously going in the right direction, the Hammers. I mean, 7-5 looks a tempting enough price.
It sure does. I went for them big time last week against Palace. I thought it was one of the bets of the season, and it came up. And, you know, this isn't far off. I think they're real good things here. I said at the start of the season in August that Fulham would finish in the top half of the table. I still believe it. The season definitely started in August. They're absolutely appalling right now, and the new manager, look, he's already getting a bit of a bounce from him a couple of weeks ago, but the goodwill seems to have vanished already. He's called for a team performance, Claudio Ranieri, this week, preferably another team, I think, because I just can't see Fulham getting anything out of it. Their confidence is shot to pieces. West Ham going the other way. I remember an interview with Pablo Zabaleta a couple of weeks ago. They did one game, and he was looking at the upcoming fixtures. And he was saying, well, we're going for 4 straight wins. This is a real chance to turn our season round. And they've got 3 of them, and they'll get a 4th this week. I think that's a big price. West Ham should not be odds against in this. They're playing. This is as near as you're going to get to a gimme right now, because, you know, Fulham are going to concede 2 goals no matter who they play. And they're not good enough to score 3 against West Ham. West Ham are set.
What do you think to this one, Chris? It's already for Fulham. You know, they're staring down the barrel, aren't they? And, you know, usually at this stage of the season, you know, you're going to get to the business end of the season and people are talking about, well, can they turn this round? This is the form that's going to get them relegated, isn't it, at the moment? 9 points from 16 is just, you know, it's solidly relegation form. They are going down, you'd have to say.
Well, you think, I mean, I was a bit baffled, really, when they did get rid of the manager, because they have a decent performance on and against Liverpool, and I'm feeling they need to sort of try to work on the defence a bit, and probably one of their better performances, and then, you know, that was it, all the best, mate. And then they say Ranieri comes in with this kind of, you know, you said looking for that bounce and all that, and he had a good result to start off with, but they just reverted to tie. I just can't believe he's going to fix all these problems that are deep rooted, and, you know, if they can't win that game, where is the next win coming from? You know, yes, West Ham sort of, they've got some good attacking players, haven't they? I'm not entirely convinced that, you know, the Pellegrini kind of is this great man, even though he's won a title at Man City. You know, I'm not. There always just seems to be an element of, you know, put a few good players together and see what they can do about it, to me. And he did buy some good players, you know, Felipe Anderson's particularly good. But they've got enough there to sort of get themselves up the table, and they won't be in a relegation fight this year. And you would expect if West Ham get themselves the first goal, that'll be it, game over. But Fulham have got some good players that I really like. I really like the striker. I think there'll be a few maybe looking at him even in January, Mitrovic, and of course they have the fantastic couple of young players. So. But, I'd go with West Ham, that one, I think.
Yeah, it's a pretty straightforward, that one. 7-5, the price for the Hammers.
Scratch of the Day is back with free bets, bet boosts and loads more up for grabs. Just scratch and match 3 to win every Saturday and Sunday. Look out for your chance to win on williamhill.com and on the app.
Southampton versus Arsenal on Sunday. 14-5 Southampton, 14-5 the draw, and 10-11 for Arsenal. As we record this, Arsenal are in Europa League action on Thursday night. Obviously, they're through, so it'll be pretty much a training match against Carabag, more like a shopping trip for Carabag in London. This one, Southampton, obviously, bottom of the table. Derek Joint, better goal difference than Fulham, which is keeping them from the bottom there. No win in 14 in all competitions. You compare that to Arsenal, how great they're playing at the minute and their results, and look at the record against the Saints, lost 2 of the last 17 against them. Arsenal are playing well here. Ralph wrecked the internet. Can he fix the Saints?
He might have done a few decent things in Germany. Halfway decent. So there's nothing in his record that makes me think, well, this is a coming manager. The idea of fun in Austria is in Germany to eat an after 8 minutes at half 7. It's just not, it's not a football stronghold, Austria. And I just can't, you've seen the Austrian players that's come over here. Marco and us is about the only decent one in about 16 Austrians over here. I just can't see how he's going to get a team like Southampton out of trouble. Selling all their best players to Liverpool has come back to haunt them. It came back to haunt Liverpool for a long time too, by the way. I just can't see how they're going to get anything against a team that's flying right now. And the thing about Arsenal, I was quibbling about them a couple of weeks ago because they hadn't beaten anybody. But they were rolling over opposition like this easily, and they'll do it again. I think it's a gift, that Arsenal price. I'm absolutely going to clean up this weekend, lately. There's some great prices on the coupon.
Chris, he says this every week, to be fair. but it does look a good price. It's a tough game, this one, for the Saints, isn't it, Chris? Yeah. But the work, as we said about Fulham, the work's got to start somewhere, or you're going to go down. It's as simple as that. They need to start picking up a point at the very least, don't they?
Less baffled by Southampton's decision to change the manager than it was Fulham's, if I'm honest. They see the record. Southampton's just such an underperforming club at the minute. And, it was quite interesting a few years ago. They were seen as the model club. Everyone should follow the Southampton way. And, obviously Les Reed was hailed as some great hero, and didn't quite work out that way for him. I mean, the appointment does have that kind of, black box thinking look about it, doesn't it? This kind of trendy thing, let's look for somebody who's done well in the Bundesliga and see if he can translate it over here. The Diet Pepsi Jürgen Klopp or whatever it is. He may hate saying out to be an inspired appointment. I think sometimes the last thing I'd want to sound like, I've promoted a lot of these British managers who come around saving people because, not me at all. But I do also think on the flip side, some of these overseas coaches get lauded on the basis of very little as well. For every kind of great overseas managers, a Pat Mel, So we'll wait to see what the Southampton guy's like, but I can't see him getting off to getting it going with a win over Arsenal the way Arsenal are. Unai Emery is clearly the real deal. He is someone who's really going to transform Arsenal. He's already done it very quickly compared to what they were last year, and them a really great team. I wasn't sure Arsenal would be top four, but I think now they probably will be.
It's a good price, that. One of the little stat on this game is that Arsenal have scored at least 2 in the last 7 away Premier League games. And so if you're looking at maybe the -1 for Arsenal, with that price on the match price being so decent, it's 21-10 for -1. Derek, you don't really need to go any greedier, but that's a tempter for me as well, a 21-10 for a 2-goal victory. Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, it's there's a big psychological difference, isn't it? Backing odds on and backing odds against the punters. There's some that won't touch odds on territory. So yeah, that's a simple way of boosting the price there, because
I think this will be a walkover.
Let's have a look at the game of the weekend then, shall we? Liverpool versus Manchester United, 4 o'clock on Sunday. One of the most watched games worldwide, this one. Liverpool 4-7, the draw 3-1. Man United are 5-1. There's some compelling stats around this game. This is the most points Manchester United have been behind Liverpool in the league table before Christmas since 1990. Liverpool are currently on the joint best Premier League unbeaten run, 17 games. Last time was that 1990 season. Chris, I'm going to introduce you to something here. You won't be surprised to know that Derek isn't a huge fan of Manchester United, but you might be surprised to know, and I'm very keen to get your thoughts on it, that a certain Mo Salah, who of course has got a hat-trick and scored the winner in Europe in midweek. Derek, you're not the biggest fan of this man, are you? I'm wondering if your mind's changed at all in the last week?
What, for scoring the hat-trick against Bournemouth? He stunk the place out. No, for
getting him into the Champions League knockout stages.
Well, you know what, that goal the other night, he meant it as a cross.
I always on Twitter, whenever anyone puts up an amazing goal, I always just out of being an idiot, really, I always tweet it, quote it, and tweet it back and say, yeah, but did he mean it? And that's what you're basically saying here, isn't it, Derek? You know, did he mean it?
He didn't mean it. If he did mean it, he wants to drop into that.
He definitely meant that. Who was he crossing it to?
No. Mane was at the far post.
Chris, don't get sucked into this. I can tell you're getting sucked into this, Chris.
No, I'm just all I can think of it. The phrase comes into me head about is just like the football equivalent of a Jacob Rees-Mogg opinion here. I can't get it.
Watch it again. I urge you to watch it again.
I think it's the great myth of the season that Salah's not being on foot. I mean, okay, he had a bit of a slow start because, you know, and I think there's probably a few reasons. I'm not sure he was 100% fit, and he's one of these fellas who's got to play every game. And look, I think like a lot of some of these great superstar players, he's got a bit of an ego bar, and which I don't think is a bad thing. You know, I think that the way he was walking off against Everton, it was like, you know, he was playing for time when he got substituted, and all this non-celebration stuff. I'm not sure what that's about, whether it's some kind of how dare you ever take me off, but whatever. I don't think it matters when he's producing the goods. And, you know, he's got that extra yard of pace back in his game. He absolutely terrorised Napoli for a good hour. After the 10 minutes where Koulibaly was looking sensational, the way he just tore him to shreds for the goal. I mean, this is one of the great modern footballers, and he's coming into that little bit of form at the right time. And it would not surprise me if we're talking in 10 games' time about another Mo Salah goal scorer and run where he's just going goal, 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 goal. And that just makes it very exciting for Liverpool because, you know, a lot of people think they've had a bit of the front three have had a bit of a slow start, which is incredible, really, when you was looking at it today. I mean, the great Brendan Rodgers team that nearly won the title in 2014, that was just all about goals. They're not too far behind how many they had at this stage of the season, so they're not doing so bad. And United are going to have to, I don't know, one bus, they're going to have to bring a lorry load of buses, I think, to stop Liverpool on Sunday.
Derek, just the Salah thing, I just want to read you this stat as well. I know it won't change your mind, but I just want to read you anyway. As well as being the joint top scorer in the Premier League with 10 goals this season, Salah's also scored the opening goal in more Premier League games, 7, and the winning goal in more Premier League games, 6, than any other player this term.
I've got no quibble about the amount of goals he scores. I'd be daft to. He scored a million last season, and his numbers aren't that bad this season. When he's not scoring, he's a passenger. When he was super next best thing to Messi last season, I was shaking my head in disbelief. I used to go to games regularly and watch him, and he would always stink the place out. And he'd score in the 54th minute, Liverpool were in 1-0, or someone else had scored a second, but he'd get all the headlines because he scored. He stunk the place out more often than not, and yet he gets man of the match because he scores. We worship at the altar of goals. Okay, yes, obviously they're important. You don't win matches without them. But it's my argument that I put another player in there and Liverpool would win these games more easily. I just don't rate them. Sorry.
Yep. Let's talk about the game. Something that you might both agree on. Manchester United's current predicament. Look, they didn't need to do anything in Valencia particularly, but it was a pretty lacklustre performance again, wasn't it, from United? I know, like I say, I won't need to encourage you two too much here, but Man United, not often you get a price like 5-1 for Manchester United going to Anfield. Is Is there anything in that, Derek, taking off your Liverpool colours for a second? Because I know you will back against Liverpool if the price is right. Is that a big enough price, 5-1 for you?
Well, it would be if there was any other manager in charge of United, but Mourinho won't go there to win, will he? He'll go there to get a third consecutive 0-0 draw. I mean, those 0-0 draws in the last two visits will still be fresh in his memory, as will be his reflection in every mirror he's passed since then. But he'll do exactly the same. He knows how to spoil games, and I can't back United for that reason. 5-1 to win at Liverpool. Well, I don't think they've been in great form this season yet. They played well against Napoli and against Bournemouth last week. That's the only two performances I would say have been decent by Liverpool this team, and yet the top of the league unbeaten. Work that one out. I can't.
Derek, are you one of my Twitter followers, Barney? Honest to God, my social media is flooded with Liverpool fans telling me I'm being too positive. I mean, I can't actually believe, what is it, 44.6 goals conceded. It's like Liverpool aren't playing well because they're not conceding goals. I mean, that's what's happened with Liverpool this season. It's like, oh, the games aren't like basketball games anymore, so they're attacking and scoring, but they're not conceding any. It's boring. Yeah. I mean, God, give me this. Give me this. No. I mean, this is what we've been waiting for
years. For me. I'd rather have last season and win nothing and be entertained. I'd rather be entertained. Seriously. He's made two brilliant signings. And I mean, I'd look good playing in front of Alisson and alongside Van Dijk. I mean,
we have to wait 30 years to get players like this, you know?
Yeah, well, I know.
I think there is something fundamentally in our, you know, the psyche of Liverpool. You know, you go back to 1990 when they won the title, it was also quiet at Anfield, and that, you know, it is what Liverpool do. They just beat teams 9-0 and nobody lays a glove on them, you know. And then 30 years later, could be that they've got a team capable of matching those standards. They're like, oh, I don't play in that well. You know, so if it's like this between now and the end of the season, I think I'll certainly be reporting on them. I'll take it, you know.
What about this? What about this game, Chris? What do you see happening? I mean, I talked about 5-1.
Absolutely right. There's no way Mourinho is going to come do anything other than do what he always tries to do. Klopp has not beaten United in the league, has he? I don't think Liverpool have beaten United since that 2013 in the league. Anyway, when Moyes was the manager at Anfield, so. You know, the recent history actually does suggest that United will get something from this. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just a weird world we live in where United fans are probably thinking, well, that's the best they can get, a draw. How the world has changed. And I just find it very weird watching Manchester United. I mean, I've covered a few of their games, and even you go and you have to get off to a good start and they get themselves ahead. They just retreat and let any side of against them attack and play on the counter-attack instead of doing what, you know, the big teams like City or Liverpool would do, which is try and go and get another and get another. And it's just a very odd, you know, I think we all know which way it's going to go eventually at United. And, you know, I think they're just wasting time at the moment keeping the manager because the fans don't really want him, don't think the players want him, but they just can't afford to get rid of him. And he's achieved great things, Jose Mourinho, but it just doesn't look the right fit for Man United. It's not what they're all about.
That's what we're saying. I mean, what must he do before he gets fired? The Portuguese police? He's turned a great club into a laughing stock. I mean, I actually think they'll have their tails up for this one because if they win, you know, they can close the gap to 13 points. It's just amazing. You know what? The 16 points behind Liverpool now after 16 games, that puts them on course to finish 38 points behind come the end of the season. Do you know who finished 38 points behind Liverpool last season? Huddersfield. This is the new Huddersfield we're looking at. Mourinho, that's what Mourinho's turning them into. I mean, at this time of the year, by the way, I meant to say later at the start, you start thinking of the fat bloke in red who puts in a shift once a year. Step forward, Romelu Lukaku. Let's see him do something at the weekend.
There should be a market on who goes first, Mourinho or May. She's just got the better confidence, to be fair. So what about result then, Chris? What would you go for? Do you think Liverpool will win, but it'll be tight?
It will be. I think it's such a cliche. If Liverpool score first, United, they've got big problems, haven't they? But you know, getting that first goal has been a problem against United because we know what they'll do. I'd go for a 2-0 Liverpool based purely on, you know, I think they'll be the only five trying to score in the first half an hour, well, probably for the whole hour if it stays 0-0 for a period of time. So you've got to believe that Liverpool just got that little bit too much for them now, although Liverpool have got a couple of injury problems. But and Liverpool have not lost at Anfield for a long time. I don't see them losing losing this game.
Liverpool 2-0 is 13-2. Derek, I mean, Man United have conceded 26 Premier League goals this season in 16 games. That's just two fewer than they conceded in the whole of 2017-18. They conceded 28 then. So, you know, it doesn't seem like they will be able to keep Liverpool out this term. What's your betting view on this game?
Well, you probably said that as well last season when Liverpool were just irresistible going forward. They still kept it 0-0. Liverpool played Man City early in the season. We were all expecting a goal fest. That finished 0-0. Liverpool are 10-1 with Hills, I noticed, Lee, to go through the entire season unbeaten, which is, what Arsenal did however long ago. I argued then, and I would argue now, going through the season unbeaten, big deal. You can go through an entire season and still get unbeaten and still get relegated. 38 points, you can finish with 38 draws. So, no big thing to me, that. What's going to happen is going to be a damn squib of a game. And I'm going to go for United with a goal start at 13-10. Because I don't think Liverpool are a terrible price, by the way. They haven't convinced me at all this season. Two decent games recently. That's the only two decent performances I've seen from them. But it doesn't make me want to back him at long odds on against Man United. No way. So United with a gold star.
Yeah, there are a couple of other bets around that. Both teams to score no is even money. And the 0-0 draw, again, is 12-1. Chris said earlier on that there's been a couple of those in recent times. That's a decent price there.
This week's European Nap takes me to Portugal, where we find Moreirense at a very tasty price away to the worst team in the league, Chaves. The home side are rock bottom after a pretty miserable campaign so far, which has only seen them pick up 7 points. They come into this one off the back of 6 straight league defeats, and yet the visitors are a pretty handsome 12-5. OK, Moreirense aren't anything overly special themselves, but they've more than doubled their opponent's points haul this season and arrive into this with 3 wins in their last 5 games, which represents their best spell of the season. And whilst the away form isn't sparkling, they did claim the scalp of Benfica on the road recently, and a reproduction of that effort will be more than good enough here, and they can condemn the host to a 7th straight loss in the league. Take Moreirense at an attractive 12-5 this week.
Chris, Derek, we ask everyone to give us like their favourite bet of the weekend or their favourite result of the weekend. Do you want to go first, Chris? I think Derek, what have you got in mind? Have you got anything in any other games other than the TV ones that we've mentioned?
There's a price here which is just too big. Bournemouth 3-1 to win at Wolves. Wolves are no good at home, and they're very beatable. They're a very beatable side. And Bournemouth, okay, they got a shellacking from Liverpool last week, but they did last season as well. They're that kind of team. And they're the kind of team I'd want to be backing at 3-1 to go and win at Wolves, definitely. This is a team that's, just outside the top 6. Too big, just too big. And by the way, I wouldn't put anybody off going for Cardiff at almost 5-1 to win at Watford. That sort of challenged me as well for Nap status. But Bournemouth, for me, I think that's a massive bet.
Chris, you like the Arsenal to win or West Ham?
Who are Spurs playing this weekend?
Spurs are at home to Burnley, but they're very, very short. 1-6.
No, I wouldn't. I was just going to say, sometimes after a big European away game, might have been, but maybe not so much at Burnley. Maybe. I mean, I know I predicted that City would win at the two, but maybe Everton a draw at City just because they probably have been getting a little bit better against those bigger, top 4 clubs, and they probably are due a little bit of stroke of luck as well after some recent performances. So maybe I'll reverse my decision there and predicting Everton 1-1 at City after all.
Yeah, Everton draw is the draw is a big price, 11-2. Or if people are looking for a different way, and the Everton plus a goal is 16-5 as well. If you wanted to kind of take the handicap position, I'm going to go for Arsenal or West Ham. I'll go Arsenal to play it safe. At I think they're 10-11, weren't they, Derek? Arsenal, which is decent. But I do like that West Ham 7-5 price at Fulham. I'm looking at that. I've got to go West Ham. I can't turn that 7-5 down. So 7-5 for West Ham to beat Fulham. Derek, you're going to go for Bournemouth at 3-1, and the draw in the Man City Everton game. We'll just put it to that. Just a little 61-1 treble there.
Oh, lovely.
If two of them come in, it'll be quite nice, as we always say. Chris Bascombe from The Telegraph, thanks very much for your time. It's been enjoyable. I'm pleased you got to hear the Salah argument. And I've
changed your opinion, haven't I, about it? Come on, admit it, Chris.
Definitely not.
No one's ever changed your opinion about that. It's been a lovely Liverpool loving. So thank you very much, chaps, and we'll speak to you next week, Derek. Yeah, thanks to the chaps there. Right, it's that time again to get an update on the League Two. League One and Championship Naps of the Week from, in order, Pete Farris, Gav Pudzielowski and Alistair Ross.
Hi, my name's Pete Farris, and in the Championship this week, I'm going to take Leeds to beat Bolton by a goal at 5-2. It's a really good price for me because Leeds have won four games on the trot now. It's seen them climb into the Championship top two, and three of those four have come by a goal. Of course, Sheffield United, 1-0 there, the 2-1 win over QPR, the 1-0 win over Reading. On the other side of things, Bolton's players, of course, have got a lot of problems with regards to their pay. Phil Parkinson is being mentioned for other jobs elsewhere in the Championship, and they've been losing and drawing a lot of games. They haven't won since mid-September. But what I really like here is the idea that, yes, Leeds have been doing it by a goal, but Bolton have been losing by a goal. They lost by a goal to Norwich. They lost by a goal to Sheffield Wednesday. They lost by a goal, of course, to Swansea City. By a goal to Hull recently, too. They're not getting battered more often than not, Bolton. So Leeds by a goal at 5-2 will be my way in. Very best of luck with whatever you're backing. Let's hear from Gav Pudzielowski and get his thoughts on League One.
My nap is all about Charlton. Relatively simple, 19-20 to win at home to Wimbledon. Charlton having a good season under Lee Bowyer, got a very good result winning away at top of the table Portsmouth midweek, and they've won three of the last four games at home. It really is a happy valley at the moment, and they're often scoring twos and twos and threes at home. Whereas Wimbledon, well, they're the polar opposite. You could double the amount of points that Wimbledon have so far this season and they still would be three wins behind Charlton Athletic. Wimbledon away from home, six consecutive defeats. They've actually lost seven of the last eight on their travels. I'm not sure Wally Downes is the man to go in and turn them around. Certainly not in the short space of time he's been at Wimbledon. Add to the mix as well that Lyle Taylor up front for Charlton Athletic joined Charlton from Wimbledon. I can only see one winner in this one. My nap is Charlton Athletic at 19-20 to win at home to Wimbledon. Looking at League Two, here's Al Ross.
Draws aren't a bet I put up often, but I've been waiting for this fixture to come round to put it up because it makes so much sense that the game finishes level between Forest Green and Mansfield. Forest Green have drawn 9 of 21 league matches this season. The only side who have drawn more is Mansfield with 11 draws in 20. Between them, that is 41 matches and 20 draws. So this should be almost even money, but it's 9-4. That is bigger than the usual draw price, and that's not all. Draws normally happen when the home side are playing a slightly better team than them who come to town to visit. Forest Green are 8th, Mansfield are 5th. And then it's at the New Lawn. I mentioned Forest Green had 9 draws in 21, just under half. When you look at their home games, that number jumps to 6 in 10. And Mansfield away are draw machines. 10 away league games this season, 8 of them draws. That is a staggering stat. The only time they haven't drawn away in the league is when they've won at the teams in 17th and 19th. Forest Green against Mansfield screams the draw, and yet it's 9-4.
Thanks very much for listening, everyone. I hope you enjoyed that. Some really interesting thoughts on that Liverpool-Manchester United game. Plenty of football this weekend. And don't forget, William Hill's biggest ever bet boost available on trebles or bigger on your football and across multi-sports as well. Loads of enhanced odds throughout the Premier League card and in some of the biggest games around Europe as well. So check them out at williamhill.com. or on the app. We'll be back next week, of course, for more podcasting. In the meantime, if you're having a bet on any of the football this weekend, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.